Someone put out a sefer. I don't know who this person is. My brother knows this person. My brother actually told me that he helped him write the sefer. He helped him with the sefer. I don't know, helped him, but he. The name of the sefer is Be'ikve Hagolos. See the sefer? It's a thick sefer. This sefer is on a collection of all of ideas and divrei agada, divrei halacha, all on the Gemara that we're about to learn. On Masechta Gittin, on Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis. Now, by the way, it's a Hashkacha Pratis. During the Bein Amitzarim, what are you on Tisha B'Av? You're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av because Bikudei Hashem Yisharim is Sam Chelev. So we have a tradition that you're not allowed to learn Halach. You're not allowed to learn Tisha B'Av, but you are allowed to learn in Yoni D'Yoma things that relate to the Chorban. The classic sugya to learn on Tisha B'Av is the Gemara in Masechta Gittin, Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, for the next 2-3 Daf that describe all the matters that relate to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Here is a sefer where a person has collected, it's a likut, he has some original ideas, put together all of the sugyas, the ideas relating to this Daf Gemara, a whole thick sefer. My brother told me the person who put out the sefer is a very young fellow. He's probably in his 20s even. And he spent on this many years. He devoted his entire self to publish the sefer, to collect and to write and to refine and to edit. He has some very chashva haskamas. And it's a very, very nice sefer. I spent yesterday a nice amount of time. I only was able to get through the first 100 pages. That was a lot of work for me, and I just we'll spend some time going over some of the ideas that came out. The name of the person who wrote the sefer is Yaakov. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Beer, Beis Yud Ayin Resh. Is that how you pronounce the word beer? Beer, Beis Yud Ayin Resh. Yaakov Beer from Lakewood, New Jersey. It was published by Mochon Ali Zayas. I know this has become now a very, very, very popular Choshva publishing house. Mochon Ali Zayas is headed by Rabbi Shmanowitz. I spoke with him once. I was involved in a very small project, and I was blown away. The guy is a genius. The guy is unbelievable. And they're putting out there. He has a whole organization. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He has a lot of people now that work for him. And you see them all over the place now. Mochon Ali Zayas, he published this sefer. He has a team of experts that work with him. And this young fellow put out a very nice sefer. So we're already up there now. Could be there's a relationship. I don't know. I don't know if they're related. This one is not a sefer. I purchased this either at Beagle Eisen on 16th Avenue or in Zundel Berman's, one of the two. I don't remember where. One of those two stores. They all have it, okay? It's called Be'ikve Hagolas. Okay, so let's go through. I jotted down some things that drew my attention. The first thing is, this is a very, very popular idea, and that is, it's not an accident where sugyos of Agoda are presented in Shas. And Masechta Gittin is an unpleasant topic. Okay, divorce is not a pleasant topic. And the fact that we are in Golos, Chazal tell us, is in effect a dogma of divorce. Chas v'shalom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing his displeasure with the Jewish people. And he has exiled us from the land. And by exiling us from the land, Kavayachal Kadosh Baruch Hu has divorced us. And indeed, there are two psukim menach. Okay, I didn't prepare all that well to tell you the two psukim menach. One pasuk says, here's one here, maybe here they are, maybe I found them over here. One pasuk is in Yirmiyahu, Paragimel, pasuk Aleph. Hein yishlach ish es ishtoi. It says in the pasuk that what Hashem is going to do to us is equivalent to a man. One second, oh no, we have some background noise here. Okay, the pasuk says, "Hein yishlach The pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that Hashem is telling the Klal Yisrael, if you're not going to shape up, it's going to be like Yishlach Ish Es Ishtoi. And the Pshat in the pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared, the metaphor is Hashem is the Ish, and Klal Yisrael is his wife. And if we don't shape up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send us out the same way a man sends out his wife, which has a flavor of divorce. On the other hand, there's a pasuk we lay in the Haftarah in Yeshaya, where we say, where is the, I forgot the pasuk, where the pasuk says that Hashem says to the Klal, don't think just because you're in Golos, you can do whatever you want. Where's your get? I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk. Did I ever give you a safer krisus? Did I ever go give you a divorce? Just because you're in Golis and I sent you out, I burnt down. Ezeh Sefer, where is your Sefer Krisos? I never, that's after Parashas Ekev in the Shiv de Nechemta. I never divorced you. Don't think that just because you're in Golis, you can do whatever you want. You're married to me. You're obligated to observe the Tayag. You're obligated to observe the Tayag mitzvahs. And don't play around. So the Farshim point out that there's a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "Hein yishlach ish es ishtoi." It's going to be a divorce. On the other hand, it says that Hashem says, "You're not divorced." How do we reconcile the difference? Is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered to be a grusha because of the Churban? So it's a tough question. Some of the Farshim want to answer. It's not a nice answer. Pleasant answer is that they're both true. When it says hen yishlach ish es ishta, there's a divorce that refers to the aseres hashvatim, because the aseres hashvatim indeed have not returned. Where are they? We don't know where they are. And when it says where is your sefer krisos, that refers to Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, that's one way to reconcile the contradiction between when it says Yirmiyah and Yeshaya. Now, why is that relevant to what I'm discussing now? Because the sugya, the details, all the nitty-gritty details and many of the principles of Churban appear in Masechta Gittin. Why Masechta Gittin? There are many why Masechta Gittin? So the answer is because since Churban and separation from Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the category of divorce, as it says in Sefer Yirmiyah, as it says in Sefer Yeshaya, whether we have a divorce, whether we do not have a divorce, Memela Chazal deliberately inserted the sugya of the Churban in Masechta Gittin, the Masechta of divorce. Now in this Sefer, he writes something different. He says, it's not so fast. Not so fast. Einoch enam, it's Masechta Gittin, but it's also, you have to take note of the perek. It's the perek of Hanizokin, Ma, Nezek. In Masechta Gittin, there's a perek called Hanizokin. Okay, that's all related to the sugyas of the Daf Yomi of a woman when she gets the ksuba, does she get from the idius, the beninus, the zburius? And we compare it to, you know, we get into the whole discussion of when it comes to all monetary matters, when is a person entitled to be paid from someone's idius, his best, when from his beninus, when from the zburius? A ksuba typically is paid from the zburius. But nizokin, when a person is mazik, you cause someone harm and you have an obligation to repay the damages, you're entitled to take payment from a person's best assets. If he's not going to pay you cash, if he pays cash, cash is king. But if he's not paying cash and he's paying you land, you're entitled to take the best quality land that fellow who damaged you owns. So that's why it's called Hanizokin, collection of idiots. A balchoiv, a debtor, a loan, you collect from beninus, and a ksuba from Ziburius. So the name of the parak is called Hanizokin. That's not a coincidence. Why is it not a coincidence? To show us is that what has happened to us is not, it may appear on the surface to be a divorce, Masechta Gittin, but it's not. It's nothing more than Nezek. And when it comes to Nezek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol has damaged us for good reason. We didn't behave. But when it comes to Nizokin, Hashem's going to pay us back. Not only will Hashem pay us back, He's going to pay us back with idyus, the best of the best. After we do teshuva and we get in line and do what we're supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to restore us as a mazik. And when a mazik is paid, the mazik pays back in idyus. So there's a nechama. Mitzad echad, this sugya appears in Masechet Gittin, which describes the unpleasantness of being separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't ignore the fact that it appears, this sugya appears in Perek HaNizokin. We have been damaged. But damage, when we've been damaged, we are entitled to restitution. And when it comes to restitution, the restitution is idyus, is the best of the best. The best is yet to come. There is a flavor, there is a silver lining, there is a nechama hidden in the musa. Okay, and let's read the Gemara a little bit and discuss some of the things. The Gemara here starts on Daf Nun Hey Omid Beis. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, interesting, who's the Baal Memra? The Baal Memra is the Helika Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the Mora de Asra of Eretz Yisrael. There cannot be a better person to open up the sugya of the Churban Yerushalayim. The Churban Yerushalayim. Then a person who appreciated, who was Mechavev Yerushalayim. You know, you have a speaker. It's not so much what the speaker says. It's not so much how he says it. It's who the speaker is. Okay, there are many different events, you know, in show business, okay, in the Torah time, Torah anytime world. Who cares who's what he said? Who cares how he said it? Who cares if the quality of the video, the audio came out okay? The most important thing is, who's speaking? Who's speaking? You get a celebrity to come. Oh, celebrity is coming. I'm telling you, this is the way it goes in show business. It's name recognition. You have an event. If the person speaking at the event is a no-name person, no one ever heard of this person, the event has no meaning. If you get on the event, you're able to put on the event a big name, oh, all of a sudden the event takes on a whole new life. Then when the event happens, sometimes that person, you know, they'll have a pre-recorded message, or they'll have, I don't know, it'll be live, but it'll speak for, as a, you know, have a book, the full, ever see these books? A book is written by a person you never heard of before, you never know, you don't know nothing about him, on a topic that you don't care about one iota. Forward by, on the cover of the book, by Chvesnish, you know, the most famous person in the world. Is right. They have the advertise on the book. Forward is written by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Right? Forward written by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Forward written by what? Forward by someone that you, oh wow, oh, he wrote the foreword. The book, I never heard of this author. I don't know who in the world he is. I don't know who this topic is. This topic does not interest me. But if the foreword of the book was written by, oh, it must be Chashev. It's the same thing. The very fact that the sugya of the Churban begins with Rabbi Yochanan, that alone speaks volumes. Rabbi Yochanan was the Mora de Asra of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that was the lead editor of the Talmud Yerushalmi, a project that lasted for over 300 years. Some claim that Rabbi Yochanan lived a very long life. He lived 400 years. Is that even possible? Is that even possible? Some say it is. Rabbi Yochanan lived a very arich hasyamim. Rabbi Yochanan was an unusual person who, he, when it came to matters relating to Eretz Yisrael, that's where the buck stopped. He was the bottom line. The Mora, the Asra, the Ara, the Yisrael is the Helik of Rabbi Yochanan, and he is the one that opens up the sugya of the Churban Yerushalayim. Because we need to hear it from a person. The speaker makes a difference. You have to give it authenticity. You have to give it weight. And to give it weight, you need to hear from the person whom is the Mora, the Asher, the Eretz Yisrael. The first words are a pasuk. Ma'idich Siv says in the pasuk, Asher Adam Fachi Tamid, praiseworthy. fortunate is a person who is in a continuous state of pachat. U maksho libo, on the other hand, a person who hardens his heart. Okay, am I reading that pasuk correctly? On the side of the Gemara, I don't have it over here. The pasuk over here is not so clear on the side. I messed it up. The photocopy. U maksho libo, on the side, pasuk aleph over here. On the side of the Gemara, Torah Sarah Sholem. The pasuk on the side of the Gemara did not come out in the photocopy, it seems. Okay, must be the next page. So what happened to the pasuk? It's not here on the side of the Gemara. All right, mess. Okay, fine. Maksha libo yipol dira. The pasuk says, praiseworthy is a person who is continuously in the state of pachat, but maksha libo, a person who's a stubborn axe, he hardens his heart, yipol bira'a. Question. Okay, this is a big topic over here in the Sefer. Why did we bring this pasuk? Are we bringing this pasuk because we want to focus on the beginning of the pasuk, or are we bringing the pasuk because we want to focus on the end of the pasuk, or do we want to focus on both parts of the pasuk? Every word of the Gemara is extremely precise. You know, everyone over here learns Gemara, everyone here knows better than me, is when the Gemara quotes the pasuk, the Gemara is not quoting the pasuk because every single word of the pasuk is relevant to the discussion of the Gemara. The Gemara, you have a discussion, you have a topic, and you want to mention something, so you quote a pasuk, and the message, the proof, or the idea that you're trying to bring out is found somewhere in the middle of the pasuk. And it's very common where the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and the Gemara quotes the words that are quoted by the Gemara almost have nothing to do with the point the Gemara is trying to make. The point is found in the part of the pasuk that is not in the Gemara. The Gemara just starts off the pasuk, and the Gemara assumes that you're fluent in Tanakh, and all we need to do is start the pasuk, and you on your own will understand that the proof, the point that's being made, appears at the end of the pasuk, and the Gemara is not going to even write down those words on the page to save ink. The Gemara, will start the pasuk, and you'll understand that the proof comes from the end of the pasuk. So here the Gemara is quoting a pasuk, and this pasuk is the first thing the Gemara says, and it's being used as an introduction to what's going to come next. We have to first understand what comes next. So let's just jump ahead and just try to understand what's going on over here. You want to write the whole pasuk.
Or they misquote a pasuk that you've seen a few times.
So over here it would appear that there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, when the Gemara quotes the pasuk, are we trying to focus on the beginning of the pasuk? And the only reason why we said the end of the pasuk was because for the sake of this, that's how the Gemara writes. He wrote the whole pasuk. And according to Tosfos, according to other opinion, that we were focusing on the end of the pasuk. And just for us, we can really say that both parts of the pasuk have a very important message. Now let me tell you, we'll go backwards. And what is the message? The first part of the pasuk is preventive medicine. The second part of the pasuk is just because the person, the patient, has already been admitted to the hospital, it doesn't mean all hope is lost. There is a way out. The beginning of the pasuk is telling us it is worthy for a person to be on guard, be mefachei tamid, anticipate, or be clever, don't go drive into a dark alley. Be mefachei tamid, avoid problems. Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is a person who is on the lookout. Avoid problems. Mefachei tamid. Dr. Bidenstock, you told me this line. An ounce of...
Prevention.
No, there's another line. Oh, yeah. Say, what's the expression? An ounce of prevention is better than
a pound of cure.
Ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. There are many different expressions like this. Same exact thing over here is praiseworthy is a person who can be on the lookout for trouble. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, period. And that's going to allude to the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. If only the people, the Balabayas, would have been more careful to realize that the postal, the USPS, they're not all that clever. They're not all that clever. I just sent someone back recently a reply card to a wedding. Okay, a reply card to a wedding. I mean, what goes on? I don't know what goes on. So on the reply card, there's an address and there's a stamp. And on the back of the reply card, I wrote down my address, the return address. So guess what happens? A few days later, it comes back to me. Because the person in the post office assumed that the address on the back is where it's supposed to go.
No.
That's what happened to me.
It's called the computer that scanned it.
Okay, so it scanned the wrong and it sent it.
It wasn't a pure person, it was a computer.
Okay, so the person who sent the messenger to retrieve Kamsa, he should have been a little more clever and realize that, you know, he might by mistake bring my enemy. And I'll bring my enemy, it's going to result in a big korban. Or the Chachamim, when they were sitting at the party and they saw what was going on, and they saw there was a big fight brewing, they should have been anticipate that if we don't nip it in the bud over here, this is going to lead to a lot of problems. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. There are a lot of things to be learned from the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, where things could have been prevented. And this is a lesson in life. On the other hand, the end of the pasuk says, a maksha libo, a person who has a heart, hardens his heart, does not learn a lesson, he will fall yibo bara. Let me find the place over here. I always lose the place. I'm on the wrong page.
Five lines down.
A person who has an action, who has a insensitive heart, will fall in ra. That refers to when you're already in trouble. And this, according to Tosfos, if I'm not mistaken, inside refers to the next part of the Gemara, not Kamsa Bar Kamsa, because there are three cities. There's Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and there is Beitar, and there is Tor Malka. There are three cities over here that were destroyed. We will read the Gemara a little bit. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Maidach said, Ashrei Adam Fachi Tamid, Umak Shli Bo Yipol Bara, Akamsa Ubar Kamsa, Choruv Yerushalayim. That's number one. Number two, Atar Negoyla V'tar Negoylasa, Choruv Tur Malka. Tur Malka, the mountain of the king. It was the name of a city. It was destroyed because of a story relating to a chicken and a male and a female rooster. Aksha de Rispak, the wheel of a carriage. Charav Beitar. There are three cities. So over here, according to Tosfos, the message of the Pasuk has nothing to do with the beginning of the Pasuk of Ashrei Adam Mefachetam, but the end of the Pasuk is, why didn't the people in Beitar and the people in Tor Malka learn a lesson from what happened in Yerushalayim? The people who lived in Beitar and Tor Malka are subject to the second part of the pasuk. They are makshelibo. We have no complaints against the people in Yerushalayim, Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That was unavoidable. But once already the Churban of Yerushalayim occurred, the people in Beitar and Tor Malka should have woken up and paid attention, learned the lessons, and not been stubborn in realizing how little things can build up. They didn't learn the lesson. They are guilty of umaksha libol yipol bera'ah. So in other words, we take the pasuk in its entirety and the Rashi and Tosfos together. The Gemara begins with the pasuk, and the Gemara says, Ashrei b'fachei tamid is going on kamsa ubar kamsa. In that particular story, the people there had many opportunities to be on the lookout that something like this should not turn into a churban. And the second part of the pasuk, umak shalibo yipol bera'ah, is going on the second two stories, the story of Tor Malka and the story of Beitar. That's, let's look at Rashi. Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil, Mefached, Doyeg, Lirois, Hanoilot, Shaloi Te'era, Takol, Bekach, Imeh, Ezois, to be on the lookout. That's all. Rashi only cites the beginning of the pasuk. According to Rashi, the focus is on the beginning of the pasuk. Tosfos. Toisus Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid Beperish Perkaroya Armuinan Chazilu Gavra the Havim Mefachet Amalei Chatoat Dechsev Pachadu Betzion Chatoim. The reason why you're so afraid is because you're a sinner. The Gemara talks about a person over there that he's always afraid. So that he must be a sinner. Why? Must be because why is there an indication that if you're a sinner, if you're afraid you're a sinner? Because it says here in this pasuk, it says in this pasuk, Mefachei tamid umaksha libo yibol bira, because the fact that you're afraid to fall bira, it must because you've done something wrong. No, it's not a raya. They were referring to forgetting your learning. This is a different story, I'm making a mistake for this, it must be another reason. I apologize. Let's put that aside for the moment. I apologize, let's leave that alone for some, but what I did say is true though, is we have a whole pasuk, there are two parts of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is describing to anticipate. The second part of the pasuk is even after a person falls into a bad matziv, then take it to heart. Get the message and remove yourself from the situation the best that you can. Now we begin the story. Akamsa ubar kamsa choruv Yerushalayim. Okay, atar negoyla v'atar negolosa choruv b'ktur malka. And ashoka derispak, the wheel of a carriage choruv beta. The Gemara is going to go through each story in great detail. Now we begin story number one. Story number one is akamsa ubar kamsa choruv Yerushalayim. What was the ma'isa? Dehu gavra, there was a person. What was this person's name? It is a very big mystery that he is anonymous. And this is one of the big, the questions about these Gemaras, all Gemaras are usually not, especially Agadat Gemaras, is usually much greater than any answer that you can ever give. Who is the person? Who is the Gavra? How come the Gemara did not tell us the person? Okay, mystery. We'll see it in a moment. Derachame Kamsa. He had Rachmanis on Kamsa. He had a love for Kamsa. Ubal divave bar Kamsa. His enemy was bar Kamsa. Question, is Kamsa and bar Kamsa, are they related? So some want to say that bar Kamsa, father and son. Bar means a son. It was a father and son. Others want to say that cannot be the case, because if that would be the case, it would say ubere. The Sprach, if we would be fluent in Aramaic, it would say ubere, ubar, ubar, ubal, devove, bere. The way the Gemara would typically describe the son of Kamsa would be derachme Kamsa, ubal, devove, bere. His son was his enemy. It doesn't say that. It says ubal, devove, bar Kamsa, which seems to indicate that it is a different person, and his name was Bar Kams. What happened?
And it also says that they did not know each other.
Who says? A lot of these things are all mysteries. You know, it's not... Rashi says, look at the Hilga Rashi. Rashi says over here, Kamsu Bar Kamsa, Kach Shem Shnei Yehudim, to Yehudim. Rashi would seem to indicate that there's no relationship between the two. Now, by let's read the other Rashi. Rashi, he says, we said with Rashi, Shoka de Rispak, Doifan Shel Markeves Noshim, a wheel of a chariot that was unique for women. We call this a las. We are Mechol Yavah. We want to tell us what this means, Mechol. The He Ke'en Agola, the Aminan Boys of Yespinoi, Ki Mailisli Kud Naisa Berispak, when you bring me a Kud Naisa Berispak, I don't know what that means. Okay, it means over here, it means, okay, the wheel of a wagon. Okay, so what's the mice over here?
A spoke from a wagon?
No, a wheel, a whole wheel, a wheel of a wagon. It means a wheel of wagons.
Yeah, I missed last
night,
so
I agree. Okay, Ahu Gavra, the Mobius, so what was the story says over here? So what happened? He had a friend, Omar Lashane. Ubal de babe bar kamsa ovat sudasa. He made a party. What was the party? We don't know what the party was. Asa omar le l'shamei, said to the servant, zil aisili, bring me kamsa. Ozal, the servant went, aisile bar kamsa. Did he do it deliberately? It sounds like he did. No, doesn't it sound like he did it deliberately? Asa, doesn't say he made a mistake. Ozal aisile, he brought him bar kamsa. Asa, who's the Asa? The balabayis. Ashikha, he found the Hava Yosef that he was sitting. Who was sitting? Bar Kamsa was sitting. Omar Lay Nichti. Let us see. Ahu Gavra Baal de Bobe. The Hu Gavra Hava. My boy is Socha. So the language is very unusual. He spoke to him in third person. He said, Nichti, let's see. That person, you are my enemy. You are the enemy. Ahu Gavra, that fellow, is Baal de Baba de Ahu Gavra Hava. That person is the enemy of that person, referring about himself. My boy is Hocha. What are you doing here? Kum, get up. Puk, get out. Omale hoil v'asai shafkan, let him stay. V'yehivna loch d'mei mai d'achilna v'shasina, I'll pay for the expense of what it costs to feed me. Don't throw me out. Why did he? For himself. For himself. So what happened? Next page. Page involved. Omar Lay said to him, lo, under no condition. Omar Lay, he responded. I'm on the next page. I'll give you the palgo, this sudosech, I'll give you the expense of half of the meal. Omar Lay, loy. Omar Lay, Yehivnalach, Dime Kula Sudosech, I'll pay for the whole Suda. Omar Lay, loy. Nakte biyade. He picked him up with his own hands. He picked him up with his bare hands, lifted him up, and threw him out. Bar Kamsa was obviously very embarrassed. Omar, he said, who did he blame? The rabbis. Hoyl sins v'havu yasve rabbanon v'loy mochubei shma mina konichaluhu, that they found pleasure. This was correct. Ezel, I will go. Ichul buhu kurtza be'malka, I will eat a kurtza. Now kurtza, you can't deny the fact that kamsa ubar kamsa, there's the same syllable, the kuf and the tzadi, I will eat kurtza means a snack. And this is a classic term used to describe, I will say loshon hara. When a person speaks loshon hara, it's typically done over snacks. You sit down to a snack, some potato chips, some ice cream, you give a little snack, and while you're snacking, you go and you reveal some secrets. May Malka, I'm going to slander the Jewish people. Ozal, he went, Amalei leKesar, he went to the Kesar. Now, wow, how does this fellow have an audience with the Kesar? All of these things are little different details that are being revealed over here to describe that there are a lot of things that are happening over here. And he went to the Kesar and he said, Mordu Boch Yehudoi, the Jewish people have rebelled against you. What? My Indian Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Just because this fellow was insulted, you're going to go to the king and tell the king that the Jews are guilty of treason? I mean, they sound like a conspiracy theorist. What is a conspiracy theorist? Fataych, what is the mahus of a conspiracy theorist? He has a very good kasha, an excellent question, and he jumps to a radical conclusion. Right? They have a very good question. Every conspiracy theorist only is able to say crazy things because they have a very good question. You really, really, you have an excellent, superb question, and it needs an answer. So in the meantime, until someone gives him an answer, what does he do? It must be, this is the answer. And the answer usually is a quantum leap to some fantasy. Just because you have a good question doesn't mean you have to go and make up a fantasy for your answer. That's exactly what this fellow did. He had a fight. He was embarrassed. They threw him out. Okay, so they threw you out. You go and you say that the rabbis, they approve of this. What do the rabbis have to do with this? And then you go and you say to the Kesar. You go, I mean, what is the Kesar? Your little shtetl over here and a little party over here. You go to the case and you go to Rome and you tell the Rome, the Jews have rebelled against you? What? You know what it's like? is a mashal to Paro. We don't think about this. We don't think about this. But think about it. Paro says, Hova nischak maloi. Right? Mm-hmm. Paro has the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are multiplying. They're multiplying. He looks at the statistics. And he sees that the highest growth rate in the country is in Lakewood, New Jersey. It's not a joke. Okay? Lakewood, New Jersey, when they look in the Pentagon about statistics of population growth and about water consumption, garbage removal, and how many times they flush the toilet, so it's off the charts. Lakewood, New Jersey is off the charts. How come in Lakewood, New Jersey, the toilet flushes more than anywhere else in the whole country? What's going on over here? There must be a computer glitch. What's going on over here? So Paro... So Paro sees a population growth going on in Egypt. And you know, they do the number, wasn't such a big number. And what does he say? Oh, Havon is pen yirbe. For hoyaki sikrena milchama, v'noisaf gamhu al soineinu, v'nilcham banu, v'ola min ha'aretz. It's absurd what he said. Maybe they're going to increase. Pen yirbe. Maybe they will increase. Egypt had a very the population of Egypt must have been massive. Then maybe there'll be a war. Who's going to war? Who's going to war against Egypt?
But that happens every day, every town. You put up an area, oh, the Jews will move in, they'll outnumber us, they'll vote us out, take over the school, and we won't have anything, so let's get rid of them all.
So you're supporting Paro?
No, I'm just saying this is what.
Excuse me, who's going to war against you? You control the world. Is someone going to war? Kisigrena milchama. V'noisaf al soineinu. They're going to join the... Why would they want to join the enemies? They love this country. They're very happy in this country. Jews are going to go fight against America? They'll fight for America. V'milcham banu. And then they're going to evict us and they're going to take over. What? What? You lost your mind? The argument that Paro made is the argument of an insane man. Pen yirbe, v'hoya ki sikrena milchama, v'noisaf gamhu al soneinu, v'nilcham banu, v'olam minaretz. Every single one of these steps in this argument is more crazy than the next.
Paranoid
beyond belief. And
every line has to have some truth in it. He says, pen yirbe. Right, your base is correct. It's correct, it's true.
Okay.
And then the Torah tells that. Now, but what was here? Did he say anything in the truth world? Because eventually Rabbi Akiva joined the murder, the rebellion. So, it's true, it happened.
Okay. It's at face value, the arguments is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You go and you start doing this, so it became almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. But at face value, it's absurd, mamish absurd, and yet everyone voted to do the most absurd thing. Aren't these thinking people that are smart people that are in charge of government? And you say we have a nation over here, these Jews. What have the Jews done to you? Pen yirbe, v'hoya ki sigrena milchama, who's fighting with you? V'noisav gabu al soneinu, why would they join the enemy? They'll help you. V'nilcham banu, will fight against us, and then after everything is said and done, they're going to throw us out. Why would they want to throw you out of the land? It doesn't make any sense. That is the nature. When you hate someone, your logic, your reasoning, there is no reasoning, it doesn't make one bit of sense. Mamish and their mind. Here is exactly the same. We know we take this whole Gemara for granted. Over here, Kamsa bar Kamsa. Okay, the guy was insulted. He was picked up in front of everyone in Yerushalayim in some chasna, some event, probably in some anonymous event, and he threw him out. Oh, I'm now going to go to the Caesar. You're going to go to Rome? You get on a ship? You're going to book a ticket to go? You know how hard it is to go to Rome those days? And who says the case is going to want to see you? And then you're going to tell him, Mor deboch Yehudoi, my Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. This is so absurd. What's going on over here?
You don't know somebody was connected.
So someone is saying, so Enechanami, who says this? Maybe it's the Gra. I don't know, maybe the Ben Yehoyada, I don't know, there's someone that says that they have no choice but to say that this person, Bar Kamsa, was a Roman official. He was a Roman, Bar Kamsa was a person, it's very bizarre how he was part of the people, you know, during this time period, it was already 40 years before the Churban. The handwriting was on the wall. The Romans already moved in. They moved into town. They were already calling the shots. The Churban was already... was already on the way, and there were many Jews. Mm-hmm. There were many Jews. It's like the Yevanim, the Mesyavnim. There were many Jews who became Yevanim, the Mesyavnim, Jews who joined the other side. Bar Kamsa.
Just imagine nowadays you had a big fancy dinner.
Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer walks in. Chuck Schumer walks in. Exactly. From the context of this story, we have to understand that it has to be, if this person's going to go to the Kesar, and this person, he's looking for trouble. He's... What? A relative?
A wealthy person.
He was a politician. He was a person that was part of the government, and he was there. His presence there was a very, very big problem. On the one, if you're going to antagonize him, they're looking. You have to understand the top. We have to understand the backdrop. The backdrop over here was this was a time. It was right before the Churban, 40 years before the Churban. They knew the Churban was coming. The Romans already moved into town. And this person was the person that they had to deal with white gloves. How are we going to deal with him? And...
On the other hand, you're missing a very important
point. Yes.
He tried to make peace. Can you imagine he offered to pay for the entire state of face? He... Now, I don't think anybody questions that. Imagine, like, for example, a wedding. Let's say it was a wedding. So here he is. He's willing to pay $40,000.
Yeshiva University today has gross tzaras. Why? Because the government pays all the bills. This is in the news. Agud is working very hard for them. Now you know why Agud is working very hard? Because we're next. Because we also the government pays all of our bills. Yeshiva University is structured in such a way where people make trouble. The government's paying the bills. You have an administration who wants nothing more than to destroy religion. And if Verdas hat the Mea hat the Dea, Mishayesh the Mea. So this story you can very quickly turn into a political story. In other words, I represent the government. You know what? We'll pay tuition for every single student in the yeshiva. Over here we have this is a very big debate going on in Lakewood. Lakewood, university status. In America, if you have 10,000 students, you can declare yourself a university. And if you are that's the law. Fairly, go check it out. If you have 10,000 students, you can make yourself into a university. If you're a university, it's like a fire hydrant of money. The government will pay for everything. And incredible, you're eligible for funding. Over here, when this person says, we're going to pay for everything, I am a government representative. Don't embarrass me. I got here into this party. Whether he got here, it doesn't seem like he got it by mistake. It says over here. There's no one knows. You can darshan whatever you want. There's a lot of discussion on all these different points. But try to relate it to today's day and age. I was talking to someone. Yes, someone says to me, when you talk, you have to talk current events. You have to take Chazal and see if there's a message in Chazal, like a drasha, that relates to current, is this in every generation, you have to have a moon. Chazal, they wrote the Gemara with this some type of message for today's day and age. In today's day and age, it is a reality, if you pay attention to the news, that the government, the voucher, I remember my father and my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, they were arguing about this, like this, as a little kid, about vouchers. And my father said, oh, it would be such a good thing if there can be a voucher, what is called voucher system, where every parent, get rid of the public schools, every parent is given a voucher, many thousands of dollars, every student in the whole city is given, instead of being a public school system, you give a parent a voucher, which is worth many, many thousands of dollars, and you give it to the school of your choice. And that way, basically, every yeshiva will be equal to public school, and it will be an incredible relief of the burden of the yeshivas, because today what the yeshivas get per student is a fraction of what the government is paying for the students in the public school system. Okay. So my father, that was a time when this did, and they do this in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. In Cleveland, many people move to Cleveland because they don't have to pay tuition.
$7,000
voucher. So it really lightens the load, the burden. I'm sure they charge you more on top of that, but it definitely lightens the load to a very significant degree. The voucher system. This is a new thing that my father was my grandfather was an old timer, and he said, no, it's a horrible idea, because the time is going to come when we're paying, we set the rules. So my father said, America, what do they care? You know, they let you do whatever you want. America, America, America. And Taka, the Hasidim will tell you, they'll figure out a way to get away with it, no matter what. But you see that it's not so simple anymore. You see that it's not so simple because there are major lawsuits going on, Yeshiva University, and it's not just Yeshiva University, it's relevant to every single one of us, is we're paying the bills. We're paying the bills, you do things our way. You do things the way we want. You know, over here, they have a building over here on Avenue M where Shlamis used to be. Okay, 30% of the occupants of that building are put there by the government. Why? Because you don't pay real estate taxes. If you don't want to pay real estate taxes, this is the way it works. Then we're able to put there homeless people, whoever we want. We could put there, the government puts there 30% of the apartments because
low income,
what?
They're not putting it as a homeless place. It's a low income eligibility.
And who decides who gets to go there? Not you, the government. And that's why in Avenue M you have smoke shops, vaping shops, and there are a lot of people, undesirables, who are roaming the streets, and a very, very big problem. This building has become, for many people, a very, very big problem, because that's the law. The law.
They're not built for Jewish people. There's a lot of low-income Jewish people. But they're not built.
To
put in a family.
Okay. No. But if you don't pay real estate taxes, automatically it's not a private. It becomes an enterprise where the government has control. 30% control. They decide who moves into the building, and they can put in people that are not a fit for this community. It's a very big one. When someone pays the bills, you're in trouble. This fellow was obviously a very high person in government. And when he said he'll pay the bills, he's basically saying is, the government's going to pay the bills here. I represent the government. If he is able to have an audience with the Kesar, let's understand what's going on over here. And his conclusion is, the Jews are rebelling against you. This is not a kiddush because someone had a baby girl over here and they want to go make a kiddush on Shabbos afternoon, they threw him out. This is a yeshiva dinner. This event over here is a yeshiva dinner. There's a su'udah, a Chanukah sabayis for a yeshiva dinner. And they invited Kamsa. And who shows up? The politician called Bar Kamsa. Same name, he's Jew. He's a Jew who has become part of the team on the government side. And he comes in there, and he sees what's going on. He's really a spy. He's a mole for the government to know how the Jews are living their life. Are the Jews going to conform to the agenda of the government? And they tell him, you know, sir, this is a private event. Get out. You don't belong here. It's a mistake. I don't want to leave. I'm not leaving over here. I want to be part, you know, with the government. I represent the government. You know, there are a lot of politicians who come to events uninvited. We all know that. They show up. What? Uninvited. They show up at a lot of events, at the Aguda convention. They have to roll off a whole name, or whole Mitzvah Shabbos. They roll off for 10 minutes. You want to thank this one for coming, and this department, and this one, and this mayor, and that mayor. Agansamayas, everyone has to get name recognition. They come there to show their face. What are you coming? Who invited you to come over here? This is over your private event. What are you coming over here? Excuse me, we're from the government. We're from the government. Well, we don't take money from the government. This is a private organization. So you know what? We'll pay the bills. Let us in. We'll pay. government sponsorship, we got plenty of money, we'll help you. You're trying to raise money, you don't have any money, we have all the money, we'll pay for everything. We'll pay the tuition, free tuition for every, can you imagine what kind of mokum Torah you could have? The Rabbanah are sitting there and saying, no way. They're gonna pay, yeah, for the first year, they'll let us do whatever we want. And then in 2 years from now, they're gonna tell us who's allowed to go into whose bathroom. And they're gonna start telling us who this and who's that. That's exactly what's happening all over the country now. Go ask what's going on in Yeshiva University. Is, wait, who's over here? Who are the Russian yeshivas over here? Who are the Russian yeshivas? What's going on over here? How come you don't put in our people? We're paying the bills. We're not taking from you one penny. Why not? We don't want to follow your agenda. By not taking money, indeed, it's true. Mordu boch Yehudai. The Jews are rebelling. That's right. It is 100% on the mark. If you don't learn the story the way I presented it, then the story doesn't make one bit of sense. It doesn't make any sense. A guy comes to an upsharon. No, it's not in the Sefer. I'm saying this on my own. This is not a, guy comes to an upsharon. Go invite me Kamsa. Who shows the bar Kamsa? Get out of here. A guy says, no, I'll pay for the whole upsharon. Mordebuch. What? Just because I embarrass you, you want to go, you're going to Rome, Mordechbo, you doesn't make one bit of sense. The Jews are rebelled? My Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Part of it, it does say, I'm piecing together things that he does say, so it's not totally mine. He does say things like this. It's a very big mystery. This person, many of the Mefarshim say, this Bar Kamsa was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was a Jew who was fully embraced the ideology of the Romans. He was like the equivalent of the Misyavnim. Equivalent to the Misyavnim. Now it's the Romans. They have actually a word for it. The word that's very similar to the Misyavnim, with Rome, I forgot the exact word. It's hard, the Mishul pages over here. He's Mamish, the equivalent to the Misyavnim. He shows up. Excuse me, sir. This is not for you. This is not, we don't want politicians here. It's a private event. We discuss things. What do you mean? The government, you know, I represent the government. No, we don't want you. We'll pay. That's a very flattering thing for the government to start offering to pay money, to pay everyone's tuition. That is a Yetzirah that I don't think 99% of the yeshiva institutions would turn away today. Many institutions that I know, if the government would want to give more money, they'll take it with open arms. Open arms. And oh, they're going to start to control you? We'll worry about it when it happens. In the meantime, we have a budget and we need the money. I would be the first one to take the money.
Once you make yourself a not-for-profit, you're in their control.
You're under their control. You have no. But the government is good. The government promises you they're not going to harm you. And they more or less, you see, we're able to get away with it. We're able to get away with quite a bit. Is it the right thing, not the right thing? We don't have a choice. The cost of living is beyond belief. The institutions, they have no choice. And the government will pay. Let us be part, a partner with you in the education of the Jewish people. The Rabbanon say, get out. If we're going to, Ezehu Chacham, Horoya es
hanoilat. And we keep taking the money.
What?
Actually, Dov just made a very good point. It's more like Yafed is the one that got thrown out of the party and goes to the government.
I understand.
Yafed.
The guy came out against all the yeshivas. He's a Jewish guy.
Oh, that guy. All right. Okay, I'm not forgetting. All right, but
this
in this story, the Rabbanon, everything it says in the Gemara is correct. That's right, the Rabbanon, this is another twist in the story that is not understood. The way he explains is that, why Taka did the Rabbanon not make a macha? The Rabbanon, you want to say the Rabbanon, so sometimes, they're ayin panim litoyer. The Rabbanon were corrupt. You want to say they're corrupt, they were paid off, they were corrupt. Sorayich soyverim. The Haftorah, Shabbos, Chazoyin. All of your leaders were corrupt, they loved money. They were chanufa, they were paid off. You want to say that? Many Mefarshim say that. The Rabban were corrupt. They were mamash corrupt. And that's why they allowed this to happen. Others say no. The Rabban were not corrupt. You have to understand what was going on over here. This was an attempt. The shliach, the owner, the Ahu Gavra, the one who made the Suda, was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. And the Suda was made over here for the future of Klal Yisrael. And the secretary was a mole. The secretary went, and instead of bringing Kamsa, he brought Bar Kamsa. He brought in a politician to come. And the politician wanted to see what the Jewish people are doing. What is their agenda? Are they going to rebel against the government? Are they going to follow along with the ideology of the government, of apikursis, and to take away Avodas Hashem? And when the Rabbanan saw him here, what is this guy doing here? This guy represents everything that we're trying to avoid. Get out. And they threw him out. We'll pay. We'll bribe. We'll pay tuition. We'll pay for everything. Government programs galore. And we don't want anything. We'll let things go, slide, smooth sailing. And Taka, Yisaka see for generations, for years, the government pays, no problem. And one day, all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you can't tell the government, no, we're not going to take, because you can't live without the money. The government's, you're at such a point, you're at such a state where you're so reliant upon their help, there is no way in the world if they'll pull out, you're finished. They completely support you from everything, from soup to nuts. We'll pay for everything. If we start taking money from you and we don't learn how to support ourselves, we're finished. We're gonna have to listen to you. So the person walks out and he says, ah, Taka, the Jews are rebelling. Everything here is accurate 100%. You look at the story not as a story of sinas chinam, chil Hashem. You look at the story of courage, nobility. It's a story of nobility. The Churban is coming. The Churban is coming, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the Churban, there's a consistent theme over here of what's happening over here is that you can't avoid the Churban. And Adrabah, the Churban is coming about in a very dignified way. In other words, yes, let me explain. Let's talk about the Holocaust. The people who died, it's a horror. It's not even fathomable to understand. But they died saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That you can't take away from the victims of the Holocaust. They died saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hordas built a magnificent base in the Gemara, the very good himself, Lava Basra. And he wanted to cover the walls of the Heichal with gold. The walls, the stones, they went in and out. The stones were arranged with different colors of marble. Blue marble, green marble, in and out, and Hordas wanted to cover the stones of the Heichal with gold, and they told him, no, don't. It looks like the waves of the sea. The way the stones look now, the way they are with the different colors, what does it mean, the waves of the sea? So the first one explained there on the spot is that Chazal were very well aware that the Beis HaMikdash is coming to an end. There's going to be a Churban. It's unavoidable. But we have to go out on a high. Just like the waves of the sea, when they come into the seashore, they come crashing. They don't gently come to an end. When the waves come, they come with a ferocity, knowing good and well, it's over. We have to go out from the Beis HaMikdash, Al Kiddush Hashem. When they left the Beis HaMikdash to Kohanim, they took the keys and they threw them to Shemayim. When you go out of the Beis HaMikdash, you go out on a high. Over here we are describing the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Chazal, the people who were the guests at this Suda with the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan over here are making a statement. It is a tragedy that the Churban is happening. But we're not going to let the Churban, we're going to control the Churban. And we're going to go out on a high. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that the Churban should happen, the Churban was imminent, the Churban. Because of this story, this is the story that brought the Churban was going to happen anyway. The Churban was anyway going to happen. But the Churban went out in the most dignified way. They made a Su'udah, Hu Gavra, there was a holy person, made a Su'udah, And Bahashkocha Pratis, there was a mole who invited a politician who worked for the government, a person that converted over to the ideology of the Romans. And he comes there and he sees that the Jewish people are not going to listen to the government. They're not going to abandon the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says, no, they don't want to abandon. There's still these old rabbis. They have old-fashioned ways. You know what? I have a very simple technique. I'm a politician. I'm a Bar Kamsa. I'm going to get up at the microphone. I'm going to say, rabbis, I'm here from the government. Good news. I'm authorized to give scholarships for half of the students in the yeshiva. The rabbis at the podium, at the dais, they take a vote, no. I'll pay for the whole yeshiva. Students will pay everything. No, get out. Get out of here. We will not take money from you. We will not listen to what the government wants. We are going to continue to serve Hashem on our terms. That's how the Churban began. This government official saw the Jews are stubborn. They're not going to give in no matter, they're not going to bend no matter what. They're going to go out saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why learn the story in such a negative way that there was Sinas Chinam and the Rabbanon, they were paid off, they were corrupt? Doesn't say that in the Gemara. You can say the Gemara. The Gemara is open to many interpretations. The Gemara is very, very vague. The Gemara is open to interpretation of showing a act of courage of the rabbis. Not you infiltrated here into this event, and you see that we're not listening, we're not following, and now you want to go and try to bribe us? No way. Get lost. Even if that means there's going to be a Churban. That's how it's going to have to happen. All right, we'll continue Mishnah tomorrow.
Yes, I mean, that's a chance to do it. It's a Russia, do it.
He is the one who would be the punishment.
They want to support you, shouldn't
I? Someone
came to you tomorrow and said, yeah, you're dying with my vengefulness, worried for dying for a bishop. Meanwhile, they're giving you all this
support. So they want to
say, look, Shabbat, it's
one so I said, just so I'm just doing that.
Today, the Gra so there was all this stuff ahead
of us.
And who's Malshin on the Balatanya? They know from Brody. They don't name. They don't even mention his name. He was an initial. It was an Eger, you know.
So
this is.
Yeah,
absolutely right. This incorporate and make a new corporation, and that's it. Everyone will understand it. Everyone understands it. You know, Nitra once had a problem with the, when they were starting, they bought a school building. And the board came, they started yelling, we're going to give the Jews. So Nitra said, okay, tomorrow morning they lined up in front of the school, we're registering our kids to the school. They got so scared, they said, take the building. You know? He's mentioned two times in the Gemara.
Yeah.
One is the Machlekes Shana Hill, what to do with Klippers, nuts, and Shabbos. So Shana says, Shana Hill says, you put it in the garbage.
Yeah.
So he was at Susa, and the Gemara says, he did it in this, he threw it on the floor. Not ke Shama and not ke Hill. He was known as the Richard Kalari. Because he was the cause of the horror. If they brought a carb, you know, what are you going to be over? Rav Shach stood on the word halacha. He doesn't want to have the word halacha in an Israeli
world.
What is it? Because the korban is still
today.
Why did he make a Shabbos party?
Yeah.
Not because he wanted this party. He would marry his father. He did it because he wanted to cut the feet from Akkadah. He wanted to split Akkadah.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. Till today, the machlech is between Gafni and Olni. He said, Yerushalayim. He told me another thing. He just told me that.
He also in Shabbos?
No, he said, you know, begging. So he says to me, you look what Rabbi also wanted. I said, look at it, 50 years. He told him that eventually then that they should make a university. That it was
very against it.
Yeah. So he said, okay, let's say he was right. Wait a second. 50 years later, he got all the money. Why you should now say officially, okay, we're closing our school.
We'll incorporate another way. That will be correct. We'll start. Yes, they can. They can do that because the leftists don't think they will go. They don't think for a second they will go. The leftist demonstration, which is bullshit in history, is working like a bull, trying to. They started moving. You want to do it because you want to get out of the court case. Now the judges are saying there's no case. So what are they saying now? You're still wanting, So, you know what? You want to leave the country? Leave the country. You want to leave the army? Leave the army. You know? This is not a democracy, you say? All right, so why did he say that? You know what he did? How do you understand? You ever hear of Ledlach?
Of course.
Who split it?
Russia.
Yeah. Of course, because they had Yadlach and the Babishas. They weren't involved in it. That's why he split it. But they couldn't call it Yadlach because they were running Yadlach. What was Yadlach? What did Yadlach do? They saved the
Arab Yalach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What did I do? They saved Yalach. What did Yalach do? Of course. So they got one guy, Uri Zohar. So he is the whole representative. Lubavitch was doing it from who gave Rabbi Shach the first job? Look it up. His first job in extra. Who gave job Lubavitch?
Baruch, how are you?
So the story, oh, the 1977, begging down in Japan, the first time. So the Joshua and the Buddha know.
You wanted to pay for the whole thing, that's one.
Yeah. So
then what happened?
So Shach said, he says, it's beautiful. Guess what? In a few years, they're going to tell you to. So he said, you can take something that you can't take everything.
Yeah. Look, so he's going to say, well, why you have Yoshebek attack this there?
He called it. Took 50 years.
So Baruch Hashem, so 50 years, it was good. That's good.
You're right, whatever. I'm just saying, but he called it.
Yeah, okay, all right. 50 years. Right. And now why you became, like, not relevant. So it's right. Years, 50 years, well, people need why you today, you don't want kids that why, whatever. People want to go. 50 years.
It's also, do you ever get a chance to start listening to the interviews?
No, I don't.
You got it? There's a shikha that ties in the, when they made also the Bachti, Bachti, so Yashim Baron used to speak whenever the RCM convention was in Lakewood, they would ask him to say, so one year he went, this is the way this Moshe Mendel was thought, it must be like 1955 or so, 54, 55. He was there, he's not even, he spoke as an eyewitness. So the Baron got up and they finished speaking. He said that it would be a very good idea for the RCA to make a kupa, to put money in this kupa for the Mizrahi inside, that they should keep on the sun and accumulate money. This way, if they have a problem with the government, we'll tell them what to do. They can say, you know what? We have money. We don't need to. So Baruch, and he starts walking off the stage. Joseph looks to the inside. He was the first thing he used. He says, I want to, whatever the rabbi just said, I want to strike it for the record. Because the rabbi was invited here to say a shiur, but he wasn't invited here to fundraise. So this Bible says, when Baram had not spoken English, because Baram still said it, Baram stops in his track. He says, if a building is on fire, and they throw off the people from the building, send a fireball to get the catcher, to catch the person. So he says, Thus haste I go, thus haste I go see, thus haste I come.
What for the
white? Suddenly the whole place came out, gave a man a step of elevation.
Hello?
So when he had this elevation, he takes the bell up and he says to the man, I apologize. And I think we all have to strike back from the record of Kuno. It should be in the record that said such a thing.
Has the Donald also?
This member, he has a lot of different things.
Yeah, sure.
He has a little tip in it. He says, well, Baron once was coming to the Mount Fire of Mitzvah Shabbos. It was very similar to it. And he found that one of the boys smoked. He screamed for 2 weeks. He said, first of all, it's the Bagilio Shabbos and Yosef. Yeah, how do you smoke? This is late. It's before the
Sunday. Way before.
Yeah.
Way before. Wow. My father was an RJJ, based in Medrash. He was Mamish.
He was a
father. Father. Yeah. Father.
Yeah. Mamish father. Every time I read him, he was a yeshiva. First day, he said, this grounds. There's two things you cannot do in the basement. You can't smoke, you can't chew gum.
What year was that?
1970.
Wow. It's still a big problem in Shnah. Nothing has changed. Especially in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Also, there's a 400 cost to smoke today.
I always was a marshal. And my first wife was in Chaim Solomon. There was a certain Rosh Hashiva's Rebbe was there. And his son, he came to us his mother very often. No, was so addicted to the coffee and the cigarette. Nothing else in life mattered to him. Just the coffee and the cigarettes. And my face would be killing me.
I wanted to ask you, I didn't know this. The fellow in Kensington is Nifta. I can't believe this. A few, 2 months ago, I didn't know about it. A wolf.
What's his name?
I don't know. I can't believe he was Nifta. I knew he was talking all the time. He was like a big guy. He was very